Be careful who you trust. Today on Podcast Magoria. Hello and welcome to another episode of Podcast Magoria's Halloween A to Z. I am James.
And I'm Autumn.
And today we are discussing our I movie, I for It Follows.
Ooh.
Now, the title of this movie sounds like a movie from like the 70s.
Yeah, that is exactly what I was wanting to open on. It's crazy that it wasn't already the name of a movie.
For real. Like, how is this like...
Because it's so ominous.
Mm-hmm.
And just like the audience can make whatever they want to of the title of the film.
They had to have been so incredibly excited when they were like, okay, what are we going to call this? What are we going to call this? And then...
And somebody's like, oh, we should call it It Follows. And everyone in the room's like, obviously there's already got to be a movie called that.
Yeah.
Come on. Don't be silly.
And then lo and behold, here we are.
Yeah.
It was like when I was trying to come up with a name for the show.
Yeah.
And I was like, surely Podcast Magoria is taken.
Right. Because it's such a funny play on Phantasmagoria.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's a podcast.
Yeah.
Bingo, bango.
Bingo, bango.
And then here we are.
Yeah. 5 years later.
5 years later. yeah. This movie came out in 2014. It runs at an hour and 40 minutes.
It's crazy to think that this movie is already 10 years old when I swear it just came out.
Yeah. Yeah, it sits in a weird place in my foggy memory.
Same.
Because as I had said at the end of the last episode, I have not seen this.
Right.
I kind of remember the trailers for
it. I remember the trailers and going, ooh, that looks kind of spooky.
And for me, it was the opposite, where I was like, ugh. I just thought it was another like generic horror film where I was like, I don't really give a shit about this. Like, there's certain...
As I said, it was just kind of spooky, so
yeah. You didn't
seek it out.
Yeah, yeah. I thought it looked like young people horror.
Even though at the time
we were roughly the age range
this was supposed to be for.
Yeah, yeah, that's right. Old soul. What are you going to do?
Yeah, I guess.
All right, let's go ahead and dig in, since this one, also, oddly enough, it's got a lot going on for it. You wouldn't expect it to have a lot going on for
it.
Yeah. But at the same time, not a whole lot, too. It's a weird... This movie's kind of a weird one.
It's a weird limbo.
We're in a limbo here, yes. Limbo bimbo.
bingo, bango, limbo bimbo.
Are you gonna casting a spell? I was expecting Mr. Susan to show up.
If only.
Yeah, don't forget his mirror balls. All right, it opens on a very unique shot of just kind of like we see the front of a house, and then this girl comes running outside and starts kind of just like she's in her underwear and she's running around in a circle.
Mm-hmm. She's in heels though,
which.
Interesting.
It's a weird choice.
I guess they wanted to be like, this is a horror movie. Ladies are supposed to be running in heels.
I mean, congrats to her for running so well in heels.
Yeah, because she's like, as you said, it's like a suburban area. And so she's running through all these people's yards and stuff and not tripping. So yeah, good for her.
Yeah.
The neighbors, though, do notice her running and they're just like, do you need help? And she, no. No help.
Yeah. She's just running about. She goes inside and she comes back outside and she hops into her car.
She goes into her house to change her shoes.
So I
was like, good for you, girl.
Well, okay. All right. Well, but how did we get here?
How did we get here? We automatically got thrown into this world that we know nothing about.
Yeah. And also, why was she in heels and her underwear?
Mm-hmm.
Like, how did that happen, come to pass? And I have my assumptions now, because I know what the movie's about.
Mm-hmm.
But in the opening of the movie, it's just like, what's this?
Yeah, you're like, what? Why is things being thrown at me from all angles?
Yeah.
This quickly.
She drives out to the beach and is just sitting out, you know, in the sand, not having a relaxing time.
No, she gives her dad a call and it's just like, you know, I love you.
Yeah.
Things are happening. Bye.
Yeah, ta-ta. Then we see her dead.
Yeah.
And her body is all sorts of mangled. Mm-hmm. Like, her legs are bent the wrong way and shit.
Yeah, so now we're like, okay, how did we get from love you, dad, to mangled body?
Yeah. Is this just a remake of Twin Peaks? Was that Laura Palmer? Is this what happened to Laura Palmer?
This is what happened to Laura Palmer.
Holy crap. I blame Bob. We're introduced to our main character very quickly, where she's getting into a pool and is swimming around. You see some scamps spying on her and such, which is something that she kind of deals with.
Yeah.
A lot.
Yeah, she does, doesn't like, she?
That's a thing that happens a lot through this movie.
Yeah, our main character, Jay, does get peeped on.
Yeah, she's regularly getting peeped on. Inside the house, all the like kids and youth and folks that were the age that we were when this movie came out are hanging around and stuff, watching TV and talking and whatnot. And it's just basically like, you're kind of getting a feel of what the normal day-to-day is like for these characters. It's kind of a, I don't want to say clunky, but it's a, this movie has this weird feeling about it.
Mm-hmm.
When it's not dealing with the horror side of stuff.
Yeah.
Where everybody's just incredibly awkward. And I don't know if it's supposed to be like that, or if nobody really knew how to be in a room with each other.
Yeah, I'm not really sure what it boils down to. If it's the script writing, the pacing, or if it's the directing of the actors. But yeah, there is something just slightly off about the everyday stuff.
Yeah. I also, it took me a very long time to kind of find, like, figure out the relationship between the characters.
Right, right.
Because they're all also kind of awkward with each other. And I had a hard time figuring out initially who was whose sibling.
Right.
And who actually, whose house this even really is. And where are they, like, sometimes? Because throughout the film, I got confused. Even like whose house they were at.
Oh God, we sound so old on this episode. Jeez.
I don't know what it is. Like there's, I don't know if it's because there wasn't enough, and God help me for saying this, enough establishing shots.
I know.
But it's just, and I mean, it's not like it's a main focus, because once we get into the actual meat and potatoes of the movie.
Yeah, it doesn't really matter. We're at, what's going on,
But anytime the characters are sitting still, it doesn't work. And I don't know what it is about it.
Yeah.
Like, I just can't, I've taken my time to really think about this. Cause this is another movie that I talked to people at work about.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just like, yeah, I watched a movie. It follows. Have you ever heard of it? No one's heard of it.
That's crazy to me. Cause I feel like it was kind of popular when it came out.
Somebody had to watch it, right?
At least in the horror community, it seemed like everybody was talking about it back in 2014.
And this is one that we both slept on.
Yeah.
You know, usually you'll watch, like with Hereditary, for instance, you watch it when it came out. I was like, meh. I was like, how scary can it be?
Yeah.
With a creepy kid.
Most of the time I will just watch something on my own if it's new and popular, and because James doesn't want to jump in.
I am so, I don't know what my problem is.
You're a little jaded.
I'm a little jaded.
Especially after doing the show now.
Yes, especially after doing the show. But, well, I think I've learned along the way that there's so many movies that I chose not to watch when they came out
that we've been surprised
that
about.
I'm like, man, maybe I should have listened to the general public.
Yeah.
But also, usually, and again, this kind of comes from the show, is usually the things that are super popular are the movies that I like the least.
Yeah.
And I don't know, like, what
it's
the deal is.
It's because they
about.
Have good advertising, too.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know?
Sometimes a movie has, like, really good advertising. I go, oh, that's going to be crap.
Yeah.
because like they put all the good stuff in the trailer anyway. Oh. Okay, back to the movie.
Yes, back to It Follows.
It Follows. Can we follow the plot? Let's see. Jay is getting ready for a date with a boy.
Ooh.
And it's very clear that one of the members of the friend group has a thing for her. But, you know, you snooze, you lose, right?
Right. So this Hugh guy is obviously somebody that they don't really know.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just that, well, you know, you don't shit where you eat, right? So yeah. You don't date your friends.
Right,
because then you mess up your friend dynamic. So, yeah. So she found some dude on the outside of the friend group. And she's going on a hot date with them. They end up going to a movie theater.
Yeah, and maybe this is kind of why you don't really date people that you don't really know. Mm-hmm. Because he was acting a little freaky at the theater.
He is genuinely being weird.
And it's mostly because he sees a figure in a yellow dress. And he's just like, do you see that person over there? Do you see that yellow dress? Oh, my God.
Yeah, and it's just like, did you take something before we went? Did you pop a couple of pills, buddy?
Right.
Like,
yeah, she's just like, I don't see anybody. You're being freaky.
Yeah, and he's like, oh, you know what? Let's get out of here.
Yeah, he just kind of puts it up to, oh, yeah, I'm a little sick, I guess. But they do end up going out to dinner anyway. Yeah. And he yet again sees another figure and starts freaking out.
Yeah. After the date, Jay is talking to her friend while they're walking and is just like, yeah, you know, he was a little weird during the date. He's a peculiar sort, but, you know, he's cute.
Yeah, he might be hallucinating figures here and there, but it's not a big deal. He's cute.
Yeah, yeah. And Jay's friend's just like, well, you guys
seal the deal.
And it's like, no.
Yeah, I guess that kind of gets to Jay,
yeah,
that comment, because the next night she does end up going on another date with Hugh, and things do get hot and heavy.
Yeah, my note said late night rendezvous, hubba hubba. Which I immediately regret that note.
I don't know. That is a good way of putting it, because as I said, they're getting hot and heavy.
Yeah.
They get to the deed.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, though, Hugh is definitely a freak because he puts chloroform on Jay's face and she passes out.
Oh, yikes.
Okay, so he already got the prize. Why is he doing this classic move?
Yeah, like this is not how most of the girl getting, you know, kidnapped story goes. Like,
yeah.
It's usually she's not putting out.
Yeah, when the guy does the chloroform.
Yeah.
But she's put out, so he's golden.
Yeah, yeah, he's got the milk. Why take the cow? She wakes up and she is tied to a chair in this overpass area.
Yeah, we very quickly learn why Hugh had to chloroform her.
Yeah.
Because it's not that he wants any more freaky stuff.
Yeah.
It's because he's like, look, there's a curse on me. I don't know what's going on, but the only way I can get it to go away is by having sex with a rando, and unfortunately it's you, and there it is.
Yeah, yeah. Very quickly is a perfect way for you to put that.
It is so just quick.
It's like when you go do something and it's potentially dangerous, and they just like run through how to do the rules one time.
Yeah.
You know, throw the parachute onto you and push you off the building. That's the situation here. It's batshit crazy. Also, though, I was thinking about how this is very much could you imagine if you were a character in Drag Me to Hell?
Uh-huh.
And you're not through the eyes of the girl being possessed. You're just an innocent bystander. Like,
right.
And that's what we're introduced to this. This is very late in this guy's story. We missed out on a whole other movie.
Right.
And now we're coming in on this with Jay going, wait, what now? And then there's this crazy naked lady slowly walking up. And it's just like, wait, who's this lady?
That's it. He tells Jay, hey, you can't trust anybody now because it will literally look like anybody. So good luck to you.
Yeah, yeah.
Gets her back in the car, drops her off in front of her house, like literally throws her out while she's still in her underwear.
Yeah, and like her friends and stuff are hanging out outside. And so at least it wasn't just like tossing her out. Nobody saw her until the next morning.
But it looks really, really bad.
Oh, it looks absolutely awful.
Yeah, it looks like he just got his way and and dumped her off. Because she's crying. Mm-hmm. She's hysterical. Her friends instantly are like, let's call the cops. Yeah. And so Jay is put in the hospital as she kind of recovers from the trauma that she just experienced.
Yeah. They're already pretty much jumping into the, well, we need to find this guy and we need to figure all this shit out. And as it turns out, Hugh's not even his real name. Like, there's no history of this Hugh fella. While she's like talking to the cops and such, like, it's just... It's like, oh, yeah, all these red flags were there, where it's just like, Hugh's not the guy's name. The place that he was living in wasn't his place. Like, it was just like all this shit was just wrong.
Bonkers.
Yeah.
After this scenario, we kind of see Jay going about her day to day now, and every little thing is scaring her.
Yeah, we have this weird moment that I now understand on. Okay, so we had been introduced early on in the movie of Jay dealing with the fact that there's always people kind of peeping at her.
You know? Right,
thankfully,
right.
We mentioned that.
Always getting peeped.
And so we have later on this moment where she gets jump scared in the bathroom because like this red ball hits the window.
Mm-hmm.
And she looks out and she doesn't see anything. But then we see as the audience like this creepy kid at the window peeping in. I think that's it.
Well, yeah, of course it's it.
Initially, you just think that it's a kid peeping because the kid was peeping earlier.
Right.
But now I'm like, oh, my God. Like, it was there. It was literally outside her bathroom. That in that moment, she was this close to getting itted.
Itted.
Okay. Since we already know how this functions, we understand that, you know, basically it's a haunted STD.
Yes. Yes.
Ghoulmedia.
Ghoulmedia. Nice.
When the person that's infected, if they don't pass it along and they get killed by Ghoulmedia, what happens? How does it keep spreading?
Okay.
Orgies?
You want to know what my question is?
Okay.
What if you just had sex with the Ghoulmedia? What if you just seduced it?
Well, you know, that might be the problem.
Yeah, nobody has tried to have sex with it yet.
Because, I mean, it does appear sometimes as a naked person.
I know. Like, maybe it's trying to get laid.
You blew the lid off this. Well, what happens if you just, like... Does it have to be sex with a person?
Right. I don't want to think about that, but does it have to be a person?
Yeah. Well, specifically, like, warmed up cantaloupe in a bottle of lotion.
Like... You just see the cantaloupe get smashed.
Why does all my produce keep getting destroyed? Yeah, like, or you know, again, like... You just see a smashed cucumber. Why does it have to, like, does that apply?
Does it apply?
Look out, VeggieTales. Like, it follows.
We need to get the it on the show and ask it the important questions.
Yeah. Oh, good Lord. Who cares about the rest of the movie? Now I'm thinking about this. What's the line on this?
Right.
You know, like...
What's the real rules to this entity?
Could I Ash Williams this? Could I have sex with my hand and then cut my hand off?
Right.
Then,
right.
Like, will that work?
What's the Ghoulmedia gonna do then, huh?
That's right. I guess possess my hand.
Yeah. What? Smash your hand.
Smash my hand. Yeah. I don't know. Like... I don't think the writers were prepared for these kinds of questions.
Yeah.
back to the actual movie, you know, and let's set our nonsense aside. Jay is at school and she's daydreaming and looks out the window and sees an old lady coming towards the school. Mm-hmm. Ah, shit.
Yeah.
It has begun.
Yeah.
For her now. Like,
for her.
We're aware.
We got
know
it.
What's going on. But now she's dealing with it. And she gets spooked. Oop. And she's like, ah, I think it's coming after me. And she sees that, yeah, the old lady has made it into the school. Damn. Now, something else that Hugh had taught her about the rules is the fact that it doesn't run.
Yeah.
It just, you know, idly walks towards you.
Which, I mean,
it's helpful.
And since we're working on STD rules, it takes a long time for it to show up sometimes.
Yeah, sometimes it flares up when you least expect it.
So I know that the director doesn't necessarily say that this is supposed to be like STD horror, but that is straight up what this movie is alluding to.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Because I think it's like it's a mixture between STD and I guess like trauma.
Yeah, sexual trauma.
Kind of spreading.
Well, the director said that his take was that to escape death, we focus on things like love and sex to kind of further ourselves from death.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that's a cool way of looking at it too.
Yeah.
But since it spreads through sex.
Yeah. Maybe it's one of those things where
he didn't think about
or he didn't want it to be so obvious. Oh, maybe. What was it? Well, it's like the lead singer of Crash Test Dummies saying that the songs that he writes weren't about his life or weren't about weren't based off of true stories.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, 30 years later in an interview is like, oh, yeah, like, no, like this is based off of my life. Like this is I have a birthmark. I knew somebody was in a car wreck. I knew like these are very specific life experiences.
Yeah, maybe at the time he didn't really think that that's what it would be interpreted as.
Yeah. Yeah, or just didn't want it to be, you know, because you don't ever want your thing to be obvious.
Right.
And so you don't want to feel like you're being clever. And the first person that walks in goes, oh, man, cool movie about STDs. Shit. No. It's a way deeper. It's, whoa, you wouldn't believe. That's, you're such a fool for thinking of that such obvious idea. You know, so,
maybe.
Because sometimes I think I'm being clever. And then it's like the most low-hanging fruit obvious thing. So it happens. And back to It Follows.
Jay is trying to tell her friends about what's been going on since that night with Hugh.
Mm-hmm.
And her friends aren't believing her. But they decide to kind of ease her mind a little bit by staying over.
Yeah, they're humoring her.
Yeah. They're like, you know what? We'll stay with you. Make sure you're safe through the night. It'll be okay.
Yeah. Paul, the boy that's been pining after her this entire time, he offers to stay up with her all night to watch. Any time that Paul basically offers to be helpful, she's pretty much just like, no thanks, bud.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, thank you, but no, I'm good. Even though I've got this supernatural creature coming after me, I'm fine. Take care.
They do stay up together, and they're kind of reminiscing on the old days about how they were each other's first kiss and whatnot. It's really kind of sweet.
Yeah.
And you can see why Paul is really pining after Jay, because they've known each other so long.
Yeah, childhood sweetheart. This is a story that typically ends with the two goofy kids getting together and stuff. But unfortunately for Paul, that's not really how life played out for him.
Yeah.
He just got stuck on her.
Yeah.
Even though he could have probably easily moved on from here. He's not an ugly kid. He could have.
Yeah.
Surely he could have found somebody.
Yeah, I think he's cuter than you.
Well, definitely. And he doesn't have any STDs.
Right?
Well, I guess
no demonic STDs here. Yeah. Their reminiscing is interrupted by they hear a window smashing upstairs. So they go and check and they don't really see anything. But when Jay goes to look, she finds the entity there.
The pee-pee ghost.
Pissing. Yeah.
Oh,
a pissing.
Yeah, what the hell?
Yeah, is this a...
Well, I'm not really into that ghost. Like, yeah, listen here, Ghoulmedia. Like, I was kind of thinking maybe we could make this work. But if you're going to be doing the pee-pee stuff, I don't know. I don't know as much.
Yeah, not really into that. Jay runs upstairs, and Paul and Kelly, who we haven't really mentioned, who's staying over, you know, they go and check on her, and they still don't believe her.
Yeah. Yeah.
Even though she's freaking out.
Yeah, losing her fucking mind. Yeah. They finally come in and she's just like, hey, we can't let anybody in. And they hear their other friend outside the door going, hey, let me in. What's going on? It's their friend Yara. They're just like, okay, it's just Yara. Or is it? We get the tall ghost, Ghoulmedia. I don't know what the name, I want to give him a funny nickname. I got nothing. I'm sorry, guys. Jay's just like, zoop, bye, y'all. And she rides off on her bike. I guess feeling like she's gotten enough distance between her and Ghoulmedia, she rides her bike to a park and is just hanging out on a swing set, which, of course, everybody finds her very easy. I don't know if that, like...
That must be her spot that she goes to when she's
having
upset.
A hard time. Yeah. There's that aspect. I think that's the thing, is we have almost like the Scooby gang dynamic, but we don't know enough about the characters to really understand their drive or why they do stuff. And because we didn't spend a whole lot of time with them before everything went wrong, we don't know enough about, like, her. Like, because I'm sure that if they would have spent more time with this character before everything was going wrong and was just like, oh, remember when we used to go, like, every time you would run away from home, you'd go to the park.
Yeah, there definitely needed to be a little bit more establishing the characters' relationships before all of this goes down, because I don't necessarily feel the connection between Paul and Jay.
No I barely feel the connection between Jay and her sister. Like, it's...
Oh my God, I even forgot about her sister.
Yeah,
is
like,
the thing.
That's the... Yeah, it's there's so many, like,
there's
disconnects.
Just a disconnect. Yeah. Yes. So everyone's checking up on her at the park, including another guy, Greg.
Yeah.
When did he show up?
Yeah, so he's a neighbor boy that, I don't know, he's not really a part of the friend group.
Did they go and knock on his door going, Greg, Jay's doing it again?
Right? Yeah. Yeah, he shows up. He seems to be the only one that actually believes her.
Yeah,
with all the stuff.
Very concerned about her health, too. So,
interesting.
Okay.
How do they know each other? Like, that's like, there's that character development side of this that doesn't really land. They're just like, well, we need to find Hugh. We're going to get to the bottom of this. And he's just like, all right, cool. Let's hop in the car. We'll go find him. So the Scooby gang, they end up going to where Hugh lived, which is, you know, it's an abandoned house.
Yeah.
And they are looking around to see if they can find any stuff. Paul ends up finding a picture of Hugh and a different girl in a porno mag.
Yep.
No, they're not featured in the porno mag. It's like a Polaroid picture that he's got stuffed inside the porno mag.
Yeah. So you can only assume.
Yeah. I think this is also weird. And I'm assuming that this girl that we see in the picture is who gave it to Hugh.
Yeah.
Something that they realize with the picture of the girl is she's wearing a Letterman's jacket. And so they all end up going to the school of the girl that's featured in the picture to find Hugh's actual name and where he lives. Hugh's real name, as it turns out, is Jeff. And they easily find him.
Yeah.
And his mom's very inviting.
I know. It was like this mystery man. We don't even know his real name. He doesn't even live here. Oh,
He's right there. He's like four blocks over. Yeah.
And it turns out that the entity is still following him.
Yeah,
even
though he still sees it.
He was supposed to be able to pass it on.
It's not like I want a prequel. But I also would like to know how he found out all this stuff.
Right. Who did he talk to learn the rules of the entity? And how did he survive this long?
Yeah. You know what movie did this better?
What?
Smile.
Yep. Yeah.
Yeah,
exactly.
Because we got a lot of good character drive. We understood what was going on. And we got all the exposition and the rules from the person that had had it before.
Yeah.
It was locked up.
Yeah.
So you were able to kind of track all that stuff.
Yeah. We still don't know how that character learned it all, but for some reason it doesn't matter for Smile.
Yeah, yeah.
For this one, though, it's just a lot of weird, there's
a lot of disconnected points.
Yeah.
But yeah, like they're just sitting there talking to old Jeff and he's just like, listen, the best thing you can possibly do is find somebody to sleep with and just pass it along. But you really need to get the fuck away from me because I genuinely don't want it to find me again. And every time he sees like somebody walking around in the background, he keeps going, can you guys see that? Can you see that? I'm like, yeah. I'm just like, okay, we're fine. Greg, as it turns out, has a secondary house, like his parents' guest house or whatever.
Yeah, like, how many houses does this family have?
I don't know. But yeah, they end up going, it's this nice little beach house and stuff. And so the whole gang is there going, okay, well, we're very far away. We're on the beach, so that's cool. Like, so it's not like it can't come from any old direction. It'll come from, you know, we might have an exit strategy.
Right.
And everything kind of seems to be going okay, but unfortunately that doesn't work out for long. Ghoulmedia rears its ugly head, this time disguised as Yara. Along the way, also, they had picked up a pistol.
Yeah, they were practicing shooting
because
there was a little range at this house.
Yeah.
The gang's on the beach having a good time, and Yara just attacks Jay.
Yeah, and this is the first time I think that everybody gets to kind of understand that this is really happening because Paul tries to help, and he gets yeeted by an invisible entity.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they're just like, oh, shit, this is, whoops. they all run inside this, like, little shed. The whatever is outside trying to get in. And Jay is shooting the gun and stuff and almost kills Greg. And then he's just like, what's going on? She's like, it's here. And everybody's like, well, calm down. She's like, bye. And she hops in the car and drives away.
Yeah, I don't know why everybody always tries to calm her down.
Yeah.
When she's being chased by a strange entity. I don't know how calm you can be.
Yeah, yeah. Right? Jay crashes the car, and so she ends up in a hospital again. Yikes. Last thing you want to do when you're trying to run away from a supernatural thing is get strapped down to a bed in a hospital.
Yeah. I will say, though, things get really weird in the hospital.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it does.
Yeah, because Greg comes and visits.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my.
Yeah, yeah. Some boots get knocking. And
yeah, with Greg.
With Greg.
With Greg.
Peculiar.
Yeah, the guy that all of a sudden showed up.
Yeah.
But he was concerned about her health.
Yeah.
And has been kind of a really big help this entire time. Versus Paul, who's just been like, ooh,
yeah.
I like Jay.
Yeah,
Jay's so pretty.
So, yeah, Greg, Mr. Tall, Dark, Mysterious, ends up sleeping with Jay to take the entity from her.
Yeah.
How nice of him. However, it seems as if all along, Greg was realistically just taking advantage of this situation to have sex with Jay.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Because some time passes and Jay has not seen the entity yet, but she's still very much held up in her house.
Mm-hmm.
And since Greg has slept with her, has not spoken to her once.
In fact, it's found out that Greg hasn't seen the entity at all.
Yeah.
Since they did it.
Yeah.
Like, it's been a few days and usually it pops right up.
Yeah. Yeah. So, oh, all right. So maybe it was all in her head. And Greg took advantage of somebody that was having a mental breakdown.
Yeah, kind of fucked up on Greg's part.
Yeah, it's kind of fucked up. However, all good things must pass. And it turns out that Greg is, in fact, being followed. And Jay does, in fact, care for some reason, even though he was a little bit of a skeeze. I guess, like, even though he's a skeeze, she doesn't want him to die.
Yeah, right.
So she's trying to warn him and stuff. And unfortunately, because the Ghoulmedia takes care of Greg very fast, it's back onto her. Like, stink on shit.
It really did kill him fast.
Yes.
especially compared to Jay, and especially compared to Jeff.
Yeah. Like, everybody else seems to at least get a running start. Yeah. Like,
at least a month of getting followed.
Yeah. No, not for Greg.
Yeah, Greg, he hadn't seen it, and the first time he does see it, it kills him.
Yeah.
That's crazy. What are the rules of this monster?
I don't know. Jay does what Jay does best, which is hop into a car and drive away. she drives out to the beach, and as she's there, she sees some boys partying out on a boat, and she starts to take her clothes off. And then it goes right to she's in her room, and Paul was hanging out with her, so we can assume... that perhaps she slept with those guys, strangers, to get the Ghoulmidia off of her.
All three of them?
I don't know. That's going to make three creatures.
Exactly. That's what I'm thinking. Well,
that's the rules that we don't know. Does this movie have a sequel?
Oh, I don't know.
I wish that this movie had a sequel simply so we can get more rules for this, for Ghoulmidia.
Okay, well, listen. Did she do them all three at the same time? Or does she do it one by one so that the last guy is the one that gets the Ghoulmidia? Does that work? Or is it multiple monsters because it's multiple guys?
Yeah.
But, I mean, you did just say you wish there was a sequel.
Yeah.
Now, there was supposed to be a sequel called They Follow. So maybe it is that multiple monsters pop up because multiple people are getting infected at one time. I just don't know the math.
I'm just saying.
What's the rule?
If you got Ghoulmidia and you attend a swingers party or an orgy.
Right.
Is there just the one entity that bounces along between each one? Well, or would you then create an orgy's worth of Ghoulmidia?
And sometimes you don't pass on your STD depending on the circumstances. Right.
Yeah. What if you're wearing Ghoulmidia protection?
Right.
Like you have a Bible with you or whatever.
Okay. So if you do wear protection, can you get infected with the Ghoulmidia?
Right. Ooh. Huh.
Since skin and skin is not touching, I don't know how it works.
Yeah, or do you have to reach completion to pass on? Right. Does hand stuff count?
Maybe that's why it didn't work for Jeff, because I don't know if they finished.
No, they definitely finished. Yeah, they definitely finished.
Okay.
Yeah, So yeah, but I mean define sex on this one. Like
I guess
I'm gonna take the Clinton route on this one.
Oh my gosh. Okay, so obviously there's so much discussion with this entity.
Yeah. It's far more interesting than the movie itself.
It really is.
Okay, so as I said, time has passed. Jay is in her room. She's talking to Paul. Paul asks her flat out. He's just like, "Why'd you choose Greg?" And
good question, Paul.
And she was just like, "Well, I thought he could handle it." And he's just like, "Well, I want the opportunity to take it." Oink. And yeah, they somehow, how did they come up with this plan of going to the abandoned pool house? How does that come to pass?
See, for some reason, I'm not really sure why they made the plan that they did. Did I dissociate during that part of the movie? Probably.
I don't know. Yeah. Well, by this point, I was probably thinking too much about the rules of the Ghoulmidia.
The whole time I was watching the movie, I was trying to figure out how exactly this spread. So maybe I was really calculating in my mind. I looked like that lady in the math gift. Yes.
Yeah. So ultimately, the gang... they go to the pool, this old abandoned pool house, and they set up electronics. Their plan is this, folks, is she's going to bob up and down the middle of this pool.
Yeah.
Ghoulmidia is going to come to get her. She's a solid swimmer, so she's going to swim away, get out of the pool just in time for them to throw the electronics in to electrocute Ghoulmidia.
Yeah.
At least they're trying to find a cure.
I mean, you gotta start somewhere, right?
Did anyone try penicillin? But this was a moment where I was like, holy shit, This movie's kind of turned into the plot for that classic Are You Afraid of the Dark episode.
I was literally about to bring that one up. Yeah. It's so funny how we're on the same wavelength in this episode for sure.
Yeah.
Because it reminds me of that, of course.
Yeah. And even, so we did watch this with some of our ghouls.
Yes.
And even they had made the connection where it was just like, well, this is kind of like that Are You Afraid of the Dark episode. It's like, yes, it is.
It's almost like filmed in the same style,
it's
too.
Very similar.
It's very weird.
So this plan, it doesn't go as well as I think anybody expected it to, because ultimately Ghoul Media rears its ugly head once again, and shit just goes sideways with this. Ghoul Media is much smarter than one would expect.
Mm-hmm.
Because it starts tossing all the electronics into the pool while Jay's still in the pool.
Yeah.
So they can't activate the electricity because then they'll kill Jay.
Yeah.
That's kind of the opposite of what they're trying to do. Paul gets a hold of the gun and it's just like, well, where point at where it is and I'll shoot at it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is the crazy thing is shooting it works.
Yeah.
So this is a physical entity. We just can't see it unless you've got the condition.
Yeah.
And it is the one you're thinking of. The Ghoul Media ends up getting into the pool and attacking Jay, and Jay gets out of the pool, and like we see like the pool like filling up with the Ghoul Media's blood.
Yeah.
Or it's peeing. It could just be, because well, we did see it pee earlier.
We did see it pee earlier, but it wasn't red, so well, I think we're good.
No, but you see, they put that chemical in pools. That turns red, so you'll see
like in Pete and Pete.
Yes, like in Pete and Pete.
Is man,
this, wait, now hold on.
This is an homage to Nickelodeon at
the
end.
Yeah, this is just old Nickelodeon shows. That's all this movie is. But yeah, like so they, I think they think that they killed Ghoul Media.
Yeah, yeah.
And Jay and Paul are together again, and they have sex.
Yeah, yeah. Finally, for Paul, good mm-hmm. job. He did it. I guess after him kind of being like, ah, I have feelings for you, she was like, maybe I'll give him a chance.
Right.
I guess to just take extra precautious measures, we see Paul riding around and looking at prostitutes.
Yeah. Now, we don't know.
Yeah, it's up to the audience.
Yeah, if he passed it along.
If he's still even alive.
Yeah. Because, like, I mean, like, I even said early on in the movie, I was just like, well, if you have sex with a prostitute, mm-hmm. especially if it's early in the night,
yeah,
they're probably going to have at least a handful more clients.
Right.
And so by the time it, I mean,
bounces around.
Yeah. Like, in a week's time, it's going to be like 50 people deep.
Exactly.
You're good. Yeah. And especially if it goes to other people that are like, so yeah, you're solid.
Yeah.
It'll take forever for it to get back to you.
That's what I would do.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I mean, it kind of sucks because you're basically murdering people.
But I mean,
die or die. You
die
know?
Or die.
Yeah. So, yeah, we see a little bit of a time jump where Yara's still in the she's in the hospital because she got clipped by a bullet mm-hmm. during all the excitement.
Yeah.
And then finally we see Jay and Paul walking holding hands. However, behind them, something follows.
It's right behind me, isn't it?
What a way to end the movie. Verdict. I don't think it's bad.
Yeah, it's not a bad film.
It was kind of weird, like, because, like, you know, we have Drag Me to Hell.
Yeah.
Where someone's cursed with certain doom. And then we have The Empty Man, where someone's cursed with certain doom.
Yeah.
And then we're watching It Follows, where someone's cursed with certain doom. And of the three, I think I'm still, like, I would say that in the order we've watched them is probably the order in which I like them.
Same, yeah.
As much as I love The Empty Man, I think Drag Me to Hell is, kind of overall a better movie.
Yeah, I just love that movie in general.
Yeah.
I loved The Empty Man.
Yeah, super good. If you haven't listened to that episode or if you haven't watched it, please go back and do so.
But It Follows, it's not a bad movie.
No.
It just definitely has its pacing and script issues, I guess. And if you're like us, obviously you will just get too deep in thought trying to think of what is going on.
Yeah. How does this work? And so, it's not supposed to be a thinker. It's clearly not supposed to be a thinker.
It's just supposed to be a straight up, like, suspenseful horror.
Yeah.
But, you know.
It's also filmed like a thinker, though. And that's the problem.
Well, was it an independent?
Yeah.
Okay. That makes sense.
And it's, you know, all the, like, making fun of it, lightly making fun of it aside, it is a beautifully shot movie.
It has a lot of beautiful scenes.
And they, like, I think that they do a pretty good job with, like, you know, setting up shots. However,
I think the main actress is fantastic.
Oh, yeah, I love her.
Yeah.
But as far as everything else goes, like I said at the top of the episode, it was very easy to keep track of where, like, what was the nature of where they were a lot. And yeah. Obviously, because even with the fucking, the climax of the film of the pool house, it's still a, why did we come to this?
Yeah.
Like, how did we come to this?
Why did you,
like,
think electrocution was the best way to take care of this entity?
Yeah.
As I said, maybe I was just thinking too hard about everything else and I just completely missed why they made that plan.
Yeah, so yell at us in the comments.
Yes, please do. We love to be yelled at.
Yeah, yeah. But yeah, like, other than that, I think it's definitely worth a watch. I don't think it's necessarily a bad film.
Yeah, no, I think it's a fine film.
Yeah.
Not my favorite so far.
No. I don't, it's not my least favorite so far.
Not my least, yeah. So.
And I know we may have some movies coming up soon that may be taking that spot.
Oh, yeah.
So, I don't know. Let us know what you think. Of, as usual, please reach out to us via all of our socials. Check out our, be sure that you follow us on TikTok, because the fact that one of our Faceless Ghouls has been working tirelessly of uploading little clips and snippets, and also we've got a lot of other goofy little things that we've been adding to our socials here lately. So check that out for a lot of fun stuff coming up.
It's funny we haven't mentioned that so far in the A to Z, but,
well, you know, I figured that, you know, since we're almost at the halfway point, might as well start trying to plug other stuff. So that brings us into this episode of Podcast Megoria's Halloween A to Z. Our next episode is our J episode. J for Joyride. How trendy. So be sure to tune in next time for that. Until next time, if you find yourself with a flare-up of ghoulmania, go to your local clinic, see a doctor, get a shot of penicillin. As the swelling starts to go down, be sure you do one very important thing, and that is wear protection. And stay spooky.
Blah, blah, blah.
Bye. You've been listening to Podcast Megoria, hosted by Autumn Campbell and James Davis, theme by James Davis. Like what you heard, be sure to follow us wherever you get podcasts. Be sure to check out our social media and TikTok for additional content and spooky previews for future projects. And as always, stay spooky. Hee